Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
All of us at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We would also like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first few people to fill out the survey, we'll give you something for your time. We would like you to complete a short survey for us to help make things better around here. Just go to listeningsurvey.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's listeningsurvey.com. The first 125 people to go and complete this survey will get a $10 gift certificate to restaurant.com, and there is a chance to win an additional $100 Amazon gift card. Filling out the survey will really help us out. Go to listeningsurvey.com, and thanks for listening.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the pit bull of comedy, Bobby Slayton. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and RJ Bell calls in with RJ's parlay. And now, he's not drunk. He's just prepping his liver for the cruise. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No judgment to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love it when you turn folks on to the show. Tell them, listen to it free for a week. Tell me what you think. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball run.
You're loud.
I want to thank Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/Adam and HP Elite. Go to hp.com/Adam. Castrol Challenge. We got a good question for you coming up at Castrol Challenge. Hashtag Castrol Challenge or MyBlue. MyBlue.com. All right. We'll get into all this stuff. I have a lot of stuff to delve into. First, I was watching Monday Night Football with my son last night. It's nice when they come online. You'll get that with Tessa. You get it already. But you really when they
she
really
wants
start
me to do tea parties. Is that what you're?
Yeah,
same thing.
You start they get a sense of humor. They start cracking wise. They get your jokes.
I'm excited for that. That's funny you mentioned that, because when Tessa was an infant, a few months old, Christy would hold her and nurse her or whatever and go, isn't this amazing? Is this special? I'm like, it is. It's very special. It's amazing. It's an amazing time. I'm like, I'm actually excited for her to do things, interact with us. I mean, it's obviously amazing when they're babies.
No, it's like me getting a Ferrari and going, I got you a new Ferrari. Isn't it amazing? And you go, yeah, it's awesome. And then I grab the keys and I chuck them in the ivy and I go, I'll just put it in neutral. Yeah. You push it around for about 3 or 4 years. And then
the gas.
At some point, we can take it for a drive, but just kind of first gear in it. And you go, but isn't it special? Isn't it awesome? And you're looking at the Ferrari going, it's nice. Yeah, it's not going to be that nice in 9 weeks. Oh, and it just dropped a bunch of transmission fluid all over your shag carpet.
Somebody's gotta clean that up.
And then everyone comes and goes, isn't it? It's such a special time. And it's like,
you get to bond with your Ferrari.
Right. And they're like, you want to sleep in the garage? You can bond with it. Or not. Or you could hire a Guatemalan woman to sleep next to Ferrari and it'd be the same thing. But at some point, the engine kicks in, and at some point, you're able to put it in gear, and now
you can do things.
Open it up.
I'd take Sonny out for some hot laps. So
you're watching Monday Night Football.
We're watching Monday Night Football. And you know my world where everything is getting touchy-feely and truck commercials are getting, Subarus are made with love and everything's about good vibes and homecomings and everything. And
podcast host suggests a share circle would be on Mondays at school.
That's right. You know. That's right. It's all
losing
turned,
touch with our masculinity.
It's all turned to good vibes. Yeah. And it used to be, well, there were things that were about, when I was growing up, there was like douche commercials that were moms and daughters having talks on the beach about
not so fresh feeling.
The not so fresh feeling with the cod, the dead cod coming up with the tide. Beach is kind of a interesting sort of message.
It's a metaphor.
And there were it's commercials for funeral homes and life insurance. And what if the unthinkable should happen? Sure. It's like a lot of that. But when it came to the stuff, sub sandwiches and pickup trucks and stuff, it was really about how much meat our subs are made with. I mean, it's 4 pounds of meat, everything's about how much and how big and how strong. And
stats, numbers, figures.
Yes, and what towing capacity and stuff like that. Well, everything's turned to good vibes. And I was watching Monday Night Football, and I recorded a commercial off the TV, and I just did it with my phone, and I told Max Zapata, do not bother, don't tell us what it is, Max Zapata, and don't bother finding the real life version of it. I just thought, I'll just play the recording I made so you can hear the Monday Night Football chiming in, and it's a little rougher, but we'll stop it at some point when I cue you, Dawson, and you tell me halfway into this commercial if you even know what the commercial is about.
Okay.
So go ahead, Dawson.
Back out there when we return.
Lines can separate us. The line of scrimmage separates this team from that team. Goal lines separate victory from defeat. Yard lines separate how far we've come from how far we have to go. But if we look beyond the lines, all that's left is common.
All right. Now, you have Maya Angelou.
Essentially.
And it's a bunch of black kids and white kids. And they were bumping me because every time they showed them lining up at the line of scrimmage, it was a line going through the field, which is, they don't line up on the lines.
Too literal.
Yeah, when they're playing football, they don't put it on the 5 yard line or the 10 yard line. Sometimes you're on the 7 or the 6. There's no line, but there are a lot of lines. And there was a lot of imagery of black kids and white kids and mostly black kids and running and chalking the field and more lines and more lining up. And Maya Angelou's in the back talking about lines separating us and getting to the back of the lines. And I was just watching it going, what kind of commercial? What is the product? Because the New World Orders, we do 30 seconds of non-specific everything, and then we get to it. But this is Monday Night Football. What do we...
And the softly tinkling piano, that's thoughtful music.
Now, that was me.
Oh, I should have...
Haven't you seen the sign? Read the sign!
Guys, it's people listening, it's an audio clip. We didn't get to see the clip, so...
No, I was at my Bersendorfer, my Steinway...
Very much in tune, Steinway.
I just give it a tune and an oiling. And I was tinkling the pianos when I understand why it sounds like it's attached to the spot. No, it's the piano okay. And it's a sort of Maya Angelou wannabe and young kids, black and white, kind of struggling.
The lines thing, I thought right away, like, oh, TD Ameritrade, because they have that green line. You know what I mean? You follow the line. It's but then I was like, no, this has got to be more of a lifestyle brand, I guess. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. My fear is that it's a car company, but I don't know what it, I don't know what it is.
Well, I was going to say that somebody's taken their lead from Nike, and it has to be another super feel good shoe commercial. I was going to say Adidas.
Started from the beginning, and we'll just roll right into it, and be prepared to be overwhelmed.
Lines.
Lines can separate us. The line of scrimmage separates this team from that team. Goal lines separate victory from defeat. Yard lines separate how far we've come from how far we have to go. But if we look beyond the lines, all that's left is common ground. We're more than just pizza.
Wow.
We're the huddle that happens
what?
When the lines disappear.
Pizza? I did not...
What?
It's Pizza Hut.
That's offensive.
That's a Pizza Hut commercial.
That's funny. As soon as I heard pizza, I was like, wow, Papa John's going full apology route.
No. Right.
It's going full Wells Fargo.
We are losing it, people.
Wow.
We are losing it fast.
Pizza. I didn't see that coming.
This podcaster wrote a book called In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. Now these are pizza commercials shown on Monday Night Football with the Oakland Raiders playing in it. This is where we're at now.
Wow.
Time to take a long look.
Look
in the chrome shoulder pads. The chrome spiked shoulder pads.
The of course, they did that thing that no one ever does. It's my... there's two things that people don't do. I'll give you a terra firma. There's a rooftop party that I've never been at. That's the one where a representative from every nation in the world, but who's hot.
Yeah.
Like the model version right. of everyone from around the world shows up to the roof. Everyone is 26 and a half, but seems to have a ton of disposable income. And they're up there and everyone's just congregating.
Super funny.
And everyone's funny and everyone's having a good time and everyone's got a Corona. Yeah. And that's the rooftop party. Mm-hmm. And they're all dressed great, but no one's trying.
Right. Effortless.
It's effortless. There's that party that doesn't exist. Then there's the terra firma, the one on the ground party that doesn't exist, that if actually, Max Pat, if you find this Pizza Hut commercial, we could see it. It's the Fast and Furious barbecue, like where they go to the backyard. They're not in a great neighborhood, but it's not a bad neighborhood, but everyone knows each other, but there's no crime, but there should be crime, but the houses are kind of old, but they have a lot of character. And they've
chain link fences, but like you can see your neighbor.
Right. And they've done the thing where they do like the projector on the side of the clad garage, you know, and everyone's
charming.
And then there's the black guy and the white guy and the Hispanic chick and the Mexican chick and the I don't know, I'm just getting redundant here, and the Asian, and they're all sitting together and the dog's over there and everyone's just kind of super chillaxy and everyone is insanely comfortable in their own skin. Like no one's pacing and wringing their hands going, holy shit, what? And by the way, they're watching a sporting event. It would suggest that like one person would be that person going, I got fucking five large. I got the over under.
Sweating.
Like
sweating.
Super like chewing a towel.
Can everyone please shut the fuck up? This
Tarkanian,
is really important.
You know what I mean? There's always somebody pacing. You gotta look. Stop having everyone watching a football game and not having one guy pacing. The one fat guy pacing is the guy who's got money on it.
That's a good point. Every time there's a football game, someone's got to be sweating.
Everyone's just like hanging around, eating pizza and laughing. Like, this is awesome.
Drinking a macro brew with like one ring finger. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just wrapped around the neck.
Yes.
Like Dom Toretto.
Yeah, like Dom. So everyone is in this super cool kind of Larchmont backyard kind of Fast and Furious house. And they're all chillaxing. And every nation is represented. And they're all super stoked for Pizza Hut.
Oh.
Okay. I just thought, wow, these are pizza commercials. Yeah. I was growing up, all you had to do is avoid the Noid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they talked about just how much shit they were going to stuff in the crust.
Yep.
30 minutes or less. That was a whole ad campaign.
Right.
Hot dogs were in the crust. Delicious hot dogs.
Oh, hot dogs. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Lines can separate us. The line of scrimmage separates this team from that team. Goal lines separate victory from defeat. Yard lines separate how far we've come from how far we have to go.
But if we look beyond the lines, all that's left is common ground. We're more than just pizza.
Oh, wait, was that a gay couple alert?
When the lines disappear.
I love this neighborhood.
No one's ever done that.
Wow.
It doesn't sound like a food commercial at all.
Is the red-haired guy and the black guy gay?
Obviously, they're hanging out together.
Well, they did a look. They did a knowing glance.
I'd like to see that again.
A moment.
All right. I don't know.
That's where we are.
All right. That's where we're at. Now,
you're about 43 years early with your prediction.
It's so funny to watch Madison Avenue chasing all of this stuff, like going berserk. And again, if you want to know where we're at, look at the commercials, because you will see where we are in this very moment in time as a nation, as a society, as a culture, is look at all these commercials and like how fast they're trying to catch up. You know, you can look at Kaepernick or you can look at this commercial. We're all just
the moment.
Chasing
almost
this
there.
Thing, you know. And don't worry, whatever it is, we'll look back in 20 years and laugh our asses off at what were we thinking, but that's where we're at.
What do you think of the new Nike ad?
I think it's, uh-oh. Gay guy and the black guy and the ginger. There's a look there.
And a hand.
Oh.
There's a soft caress on the forearm. Yeah,
bicep grab there.
These are 100% gay.
God bless.
Now, how's it work with casting? Do they want a gay guy to play the gay guy in the non-speaking gay guy role? Are you in there going, I'd rather be the responsible dad who pays for the pizza and not the ginger who's making it with the brother? Or do you have a preference? Do you get to make a call?
I don't think you make the call as the
actor. You don't make the call?
I think you're lucky to be in a very highly publicized commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want Christy to weigh on this tomorrow?
I do.
I think she's going to agree with
this. This is the most progressive pizza commercial I've ever seen in my life, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Way ahead of the curve.
For a not super progressive product.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
a
Pizza
fairly
Hut.
Regressive product. Yeah. Super carby.
Yeah. The doughy, buttery.
Same price as ever.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, the Nike, the Nike ad is them trying to take a shot at something. And, you know, we're probably a little too close to tell whether it's working or not working. I believe a little time has to go by.
Yeah.
You can't sort of go, the stock's up, the stock's down, the sales are up, the sales are down.
Yeah.
I think you stand back.
For the long,
it's schmaltzy.
Look at it.
But I like the new tagline, the don't ask if your dreams are crazy, ask if they're crazy enough. Okay.
Oh, is that the...
Yeah, like, you know, don't what, just
that's
be
for
the...
That's Domino's?
That's Domino's. That's annoyed talking to the right into the lens.
Is that Nike?
Yeah, that's Kaepernick. That's how it ends, I believe.
Oh, I just saw the poster. Look,
it's a good
news is it makes... The great news with all this stuff is then you turn on your tweets and there's a picture of Bernie Sanders in the same shot going like, give me some of your money or something.
And
it always makes me laugh. Like it spawns a lot of good. It's the opposite of Got Milk, which spawned a lot of bad.
Got commercial real estate.
Yeah. Call Stu Lowenstein. Like 9 years after the ad.
The Bernie one is the Just Do It is believe in something even if it means sacrificing someone else's everything.
Just take it.
Just take it. So this is the good part about these things. You'll get a lot of these spinoffs. All right.
Christy calling about it. She thinks the Nike ad is brilliant. She loves it.
She'll have to back that up.
It's definitely working.
What does she know?
Everyone's talking about it and all that. We'll see where we are a year from now, I guess. All right.
Why are you wearing a big medallion?
Oh. I'm wearing a medallion that says Martini Racing 50th anniversary or something like that.
Cool.
I went to the Goodwood Festival a few months back, and when you sign up and you drive, they give you a medallion, and you wear the medallion to get you in and out of the driver's lounge and blah, blah, blah. And when I got there, they said, we're out of medallions. And I said, all right.
Helpful.
Like it was a weird paper thing to show. And I said, all right. And then they said, we'll send you the medallion in the mail. And you can wear it when you get home.
When the party's long over.
Yeah. They didn't actually say you can wear it when you get home.
No.
That was my interpretation.
But here we are.
So they said, we'll send you the medallion and we'll send it to you. And I don't know, a month later, the medallion showed up. And then it rolled around in my car for a long time. And then I threw it on the table. And I was looking at it today and I thought, why shouldn't I don this medallion?
Why not?
I've earned this medallion.
Yeah. It's rightfully your medallion.
So I put this handsome medallion on and I walked over here.
Good for you.
Uh-huh.
Right. It's you.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, I'm not going to sleep in it, but I am going to swim in it, yeah. Make love in it.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
This says Mr. Low Self-Esteem on the back.
That's right.
It's wearing a medallion. Jesus Christ.
Like Flavor Flav.
That's good.
It's good.
Well, Isaac likes it.
I want, I wanted the piano tuner thing on my car, too.
That's right.
The medallion will be hanging from the rear view, like the garter belt or the graduation tassel.
Yeah.
Did your son fill you in on fantasy football? He whipped my ass this week.
He
really edged me out. He whipped my ass. But
he told me when he was yelling for Gurley to break off for more yardage on Monday Night Football last night. I've just done hugging him and mopping up the tears from watching a pizza commercial.
That's right.
I wasn't hungry, but it was a very somber moment for both of us.
Yeah. You found common ground.
I found common ground. So then he was rooting for Gurley to run it up, so to speak. Yeah. And I said, I thought you won this week. He's like, I want to win decisively or something. So he's out of control. He's an animal.
He's drunk with power.
So he won the first week.
You beat me in our head-to-head matchup. He's 1-0, and I'm
0-1. Oh, Brian.
All right. Well, let's come back.
This might be the toughest matchup of the year this first week. Sonny's good.
He talks.
He hosts a fantasy football podcast. He should be good.
He never stops talking about football stats. All right. Let me tell you about HP Elite, and we're going to do Eat Your Feelings. What did you bring, Gina?
This has quite a twist to it. I made something for you guys Sunday. I realized on Monday it was horrible, and I repurposed it into something magical. A pork slaw casserole. Just in time for the Jewish New Year.
I'm glad you brought this up, because can you guys... Look, I try not to be a dick.
However...
Oh, no. Go on.
Well... I have conversations with people frequently where I'll take something and I'll put it by the front door and I'll put a little note on it and I'll say, take it with you to work or something like that. And then I'll have a conversation with somebody and they'll go, I'll see the bag like in front of the front door and they'll go, I'll see it when I come home and I'll go, oh, you didn't take it with you to work? You didn't take the bag to work or whatever the thing is. And they'll go, no, you never said anything. And I'll go, yeah, but did you leave through the front door? And they'll go, yeah. And then I'll go, okay, did you see the bag? And they'll go, yeah. And then I'll go, well, next time you see a bag and there's a note on it, it says take it to work, take it to work. And they'll go, okay, but you didn't say anything. And I'll go, okay, now we have to reboot again. You can just go fine or next time or we'll do. Or do that thing where you call me captain or champ or something.
Chief.
Yeah.
But what is it? And everyone goes, well, why are you arguing all the time? It's like, because you're fucking rebooting me all the time.
What are those called? Penrose steps? The ones that the illusion that keeps going around and never go
MC
up
Escher.
Or down? Yeah, whatever it is. They go up and down, up around, around.
Nanny Olga has an exceptional amount of pride. Like an insane amount of pride.
How dare she?
A lot of pride.
Who does she think she is?
She'll do stuff like she'll make me some Blue Apron and then she'll go like, how come you didn't put the scallions on top? And I'll go, I didn't know it had scallions. They're in the patch. I told you. And I'll go, you didn't say anything about scallions. I told you. And I'll go, where are they? And they go, it's in the packet behind the toaster oven. And I'll go, all right, well, you didn't tell me. I told you. And I'll go,
behind the toaster.
All right, first off, I didn't envision a world where I was the boss and I was in my kitchen like arguing with people who are on the payroll. And I go, listen, if you would have told me about the scallions... I would have put them on top, but you didn't say anything about it. But that's fine. I'll put them on top now. Okay, I told you. And then she'll walk out of the room. And
I'll like, parting shot.
It's a weird thing. It's weird. She's very dug in. Everyone in my house.
I told you.
Yeah. Everyone is dug in everywhere, which is weird. It's weird. It's a weird world.
It's a good lesson to teach Tessa, at least young people, like don't be dug in. All the time. Like, there are certain times we want to stand by your principles and your ethics and morals. But
leave room for possibly being wrong.
Be ready to go either direction.
Yeah, so I got Gelson's, heard me complaining. Gelson's is a great market. I don't know if it's everywhere. Here's how good Gelson's was. It was the market we weren't allowed to shop at I was a kid because it was too nice for us. Yeah. It was too good for us. Like, you go to Lucky's, Vons, maybe Alpha Beta in North Hollywood, but you're not going to Gelson's.
You go to Vallarta.
Nowhere with a deli counter.
Some stores, when you walk out with something, it buzzes. When you walked in,
they're like, the Corollas are here. Shut it down. And they pull those metal gates down in front of everything.
They have a great sushi bar at Gelson's.
So anything.
It's a high-end grocery store.
It's high-end. And they heard me complaining about sausage patties. And they sent over a bucket of breakfast meats.
Oh, Lord. Damn.
All the best. And it's all been great. We've been enjoying it. And they sent over ground seasoned chorizo. So it's like hamburger meat, but it's like seasoned pork meat. And in a packet. And I'm like, ooh. And I took it and I put it in a skillet. And I scrambled it up with some eggs and some onion and stuff. And it was delish. It was delish. And the day before... Olga listens to the podcast, so she's going to argue with me in the kitchen about this. But the day before, she unpacked this big cooler that Gelson's gave us, and it was like, I do it like, all right, put that stuff in the freezer, leave the thick cut bacon out, we'll have that tomorrow, she unpacked the whole thing and put it away in the fridge. I get up the next morning, I see the chorizo pack in there, the ground up chorizo, and I go, oh, I'm making some eggs, I make some eggs. Then she's got the marching orders to make your meatball casserole.
Sweet.
Sweet. And I leave a note on the burner, on the stove, as I'm apt to do. I said, let's have the meatball casserole. And then I go ground beef. And then I go mix in the chorizo.
Whoa.
The ground chorizo. I wrote pork and then I wrote chorizo. So you can do like a suicide, a 50-50 ball. Yeah. I love things flavored with pork.
Great idea.
The best meatballs are veal and pork.
Yeah. Right. So that's the note I left. And then I took my pork thing and I set it like right on top of something in the middle of the fridge. Like, hey, if in case you missed the note, you'll see that. And then I got home and old guy said, I made the meatball. A casserole. And I said, okay, good. You do the chorizo and the beef? And she said, no. And I said, why not? And she said, you didn't say to. Uh-huh. And I said, I'm holding a note right here that says it. Yeah. Well, I didn't do it. And I said, okay, but I wrote a note and it's on the note and the note's right here. Yeah. I forgot. I said, okay, well, the pork package is just right in the fridge, like right there. And she went, oh, I did it. And I said, well, look, next time I leave a note that says do this and do that, just do what's on the note. And she paused and she said, but you didn't say anything. Yes, that is true. It is true because I wasn't here. Let me explain the concept of
technicality.
Let me explain why one leaves notes, because I'm not going to cut my head off and leave it here and reanimate it.
Verbally state?
No, I'm at work. I thought
so the answer is no.
It's a note that says makes the meatball, and then it says chorizo and pork mixed. And we did about three rounds of her explaining. I did see the note. I did see the pork. I did forget. But
however,
you didn't tell me.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure. Like when I yell at Max Zapata, hey, you left a huge tumbler of goat semen at my desk. Did you do your podcast last night? Yes, I did. Why didn't you remove the goat semen? I did a sweep of it before we left.
Oh, my God.
Unnecessary point. All it's going to do is bring me back to why are we having arguments that just reboot the argument, which is if you did a sweep, then you must get a CAT scan. Brian will have recommend a physician. There's no need to announce you've done something after you've screwed something, unless it's germane. Yeah. Which is, I opened the front door, a huge gust of wind came through it, and blew away any possible notes that involved pork, because they're lighter than other notes. And then I went ahead and made the casserole, in which case, I'll say, sorry, next time, I should have put a rock on that note. Yeah. But if I left the note on the burner and you saw the note, then there's no reason to double back and go, you didn't tell me.
I don't think you're getting an argument.
Now we know.
Us.
Fair amount of pride. Yeah.
I've cleaned up the goat semen every single time since.
That's right. You're on a goat semen roll.
Fool me once.
It's said many times. All right. So that was my pork related.
That's delightful.
But The meatball casserole was great.
Awesome.
I was kind of missing that pork.
I'm sure it was.
But it was great.
Thank you, Mrs. Happy Homemaker. And that's her recipe.
I doubled down on it. I ate it last night as well.
So good.
Do yourselves a favor, everybody. When you're going sort of day two, day three of the, not pasta, but the sort of lasagna or whatever, heat up a little red sauce on the side and just just kind of freshen it up a little bit.
Yeah,
it didn't really need it the first night, but the second night, I give it a little shot of red sauce on there. All right, so we're gonna get one of your delightful offerings.
This has a twist.
Tell you first about HP Elite. When it comes to tech, the difference between consumer grade and business class PC can be just as big as commercial flights. You don't want to fly with the steerage. Maybe you want that business class. I recommend it. So the upgrade is worthwhile for many of you. Better performance, longer battery life, comes with HP Elite Premium Support, providing 24/7, 365 dedicated service from U.S.-based specialists, security software, and features that help keep proprietary data safe. The go-to choice for graphic designers, serious performance with a streamlined user experience, tested for over 115,000 hours to ensure durability. Get an extra 10% off select 8th generation Intel-powered HP PCs with the code ADAM until September 17th. So let's get crack-a-lackin'. That's www.hp.com/ADAM. Get that 10% off. www.hp.com/ADAM.
Get an extra 10% off select 8th generation Intel powered HP PCs with code ADAM until September 17th at hp.com/ADAM.
All right, Gina Grad, what have you here?
So, the other night, the eve of the Jewish New Year, I had such a hankering for pork, like pork tenderloin or something. So I thought, I'm going to do it. I know. I'm going to sear it in my Dutch oven. I'm going to roast it in the oven. It's going to be amazing. I made this cabbage slaw with it. And I took a bite, and it was dry, and it was flavorless. And I started wringing my hands and pacing back and forth. I said, I cannot give this to these people. It's dry. And I don't have a lot of experience with pork. So I don't, you know, I should have maybe cut slits in it. I should have marinated. I didn't do any of that. So I thought, well, it's going in a casserole or it's going in a soup. And I consider myself a bit of a casserole queen. So I always take the casserole route. So I chopped up the pork. I put it in, mixed it in with the slaw, with sauteed bell pepper, with sauteed onion, Gruyere cheese, and Swiss cheese to do a little bit of a German thing. Put a little sauerkraut in it, along with a little garlic mustard aioli. And I made a delightful casserole, if I do say so myself.
Mm.
You like it?
Oh,
I agree.
Yeah.
That was the original pork loin, a couple pictures. And
I love the sauerkraut.
Yeah. I wanted it to have a little bit of a vinegary, kind of a bite to it. And it just wasn't very good. It just didn't have anything going on. So I thought, I can improve this.
For starting off with dry pork, you have reconstituted it very well.
Thank you.
This is very tasty.
I shredded about a half of, however much of Gruyere, mixed it with the Swiss, mixed it all in, baked it, and then I always do, as most people always do, sprinkle a little more cheese on top, pop it back in the oven, and make it delicious and delectable. Of course, this recipe...
I cannot wait for Olga to fuck this up.
Fuck upable. Mm. It came from a fuck up, so it'll be fine. Yeah. This recipe will be on the blog post of adamcarolla.com. And it came from
a char to it.
Thank you. I do like to leave it in so it crisps. Oh, very important. And of course, the recipe is on the website. Before I put it in the oven, I drizzled some chicken broth over it just so it didn't dry out.
Hold on. I got to talk to Olga.
Okay.
She listens to the show with her earbuds in the kitchen. And it's about now that she'll walk into the den and start explaining to me her version of this pork-based ground story and why I'm wrong and why I need to shut up. I would argue that this is all part and parcel of the same bad gene, Olga. This notion that you got to go settle the rich guy's hash, not a good notion. You stay in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans.
Get to that doorway and turn around.
And where's Phil? Who's fed Phil? What's Phil doing? Phil just... Olga's the only person that Phil listens to.
Yeah.
So, like, Phil sits by the front door, and then I put his leash on, and I go, we're going for a walk, and then I drag him about 3 feet, and his carcass just lays there, and then at a certain point, I go, we're going for a walk, and he just sits there, and then at some point, he'll look at Olga, who's like in the kitchen, like, are we going for a walk, and she'll go, go on, get, and then he'll get up and trot out the door.
Who's the boss, indeed?
Yeah.
She is the only person in the house that he will listen to. That was delightful.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it.
I could use a napkin if anyone's listening.
And Brian, I heard you last time. I heard you call me out on
what?
The tiny dish / giant dish. So you people have a medium-sized dish in the refrigerator for yourselves.
All right.
And just a reminder, so you go to adamcarolla.com and you click on posts. That's where all Gina's recipes are.
And these are based on recipes I've found online. And then, of course, I have to Gina-ize them. Can I have one?
Yes.
Take mine.
Thanks.
I didn't get dirty.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I have to always tweak it a little bit just to make it a little more fun.
Delicious. Mm-hmm.
It's a great segment.
I love it.
Bringing in food.
I got a problem. There's a couple things. Also, watching the Oakland game last night, Oakland fans, somebody tweeted me, but I noticed it, which is Oakland is in trouble because Gruden's got the Jeff Fisher glasses that have the magnetic tip in them. And that was the sole cause of the 4-12 season that he presided over.
I didn't know that.
And
it's bad.
You don't know enough about football.
Right. I mean, I saw Hard Knocks with those glasses. I thought they were.
That's another bad team.
That's right.
Right. And there's going to be a problem there. So, sorry, Chucky, but you better get yourself some glasses.
I think it might be too late.
It's not going to work. All right. Let's see. I'm looking at my list here. Gruden's glasses.
Very important.
I had this weird thought, which is somebody sent me every other day I get a new note about how smart ravens are and how smart crows are and how now they can do human voices and they recognize. This one was basically birds act, and all animals sort of act differently when they think other animals could be watching them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to hide your food and there's other animals watching you, you don't hide your food.
Right.
If they're not watching you, then you can hide your food. This one basically showed that crows and human beings sort of understand the peephole effect, which is even if there are no animals or other birds or competitors in the room with you, there's a peephole and they could be looking through the peephole.
Damn.
Well, first they introduce the peephole to the crow.
Wow.
Like, here's the concept. You can look through here and you can see where the scientist is hiding the food.
Crows have object permanence. Like, dumb dogs don't know, you know, if you put something up there is behind, you know, a chair, they don't know it's there anymore because it's not in their sight.
Right, right. And they do, again, they understand. So, in a nutshell, pardon the pun, because they are probably hiding nuts half the time, they let the crows look through the peephole, and then they let the scientists hide the food.
Okay.
Then the crow goes in and goes and gets the food.
Okay.
But then the crow, before he hides his food or her food, goes, wait a minute, who's on the other end of that peephole? Could be watching me right now.
Predator.
I think that's the basic premise of this. They're just getting better and better. And then, you know, I always think about my attack crows, but I had a scary thought. Which is, I'm a broken record, which is all the violence and all the ills of society and all the, you know, when you see some school bus footage and there's the one 14-year-old chick and she's got the other 14-year-old chick by the hair and she's smashing her head against that chrome bar that's at the top of the seat. And you think to yourself, how could you even do that? Like, I get the part about defending yourself or the person punch you and you punch them back or something. But the part where you're like grabbing their head and like mashing it into stuff and all that, like, where's that come from? And that comes from no dads. That's just that kind of insanity. That's trauma and the trauma of no dads or dads that were traumatizing. But basically all the violence and all the stuff you don't want to see out of life is no dads. It all comes from no dads. Now, I had this really scary thought, which is I'm glad crows are a tight-knit community and birds in general, because if we had a lot of crows whose dads just go, fuck it, I'm going to Florida.
You flew the coop.
I met a younger crow.
Thank you.
And we'd have a lot of violent, out of control crows.
A lot of outbursts.
And I'd probably work with seagulls and owls as well. And they'd be diving on our heads and kicking the shit out of us. Like, we'd be rollerblading, and they'd be coming at
Pelican.
Us. Violent outbursts.
Thank God the bird family structure is intact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For all of our sake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking very strong about very importantly about that the other day. Oh. Also,
can I tell you another crow thing? Mm-hmm. On Nerd PR the other day, they were talking about crows, and they said that the way a crow will shake down another crow for its food depends on if they're related or not.
Mm.
So if they're part of the same clan, if they're cousins, they'll be like, yeah, a little bit like, come on, can I have some of that? Like a little nicer. If they're not related, they attack the crow and take the food.
Damn.
So there you go.
I will show you guys a 20-second trailer for the next, let's see, where is the Nick Mason video or his $80 million car? Where do you get that?
MotorTrend.com/Adam. Adam Carolla goes racing.
Yeah, I'm wearing my medallion, so it has reminded me, but I'll
you're still wearing it, everyone.
I'm still wearing it.
Oh, it's very much on.
Mm-hmm. RJ's on the line. We'll talk to him in a second.
What did you do this weekend? Oh, I drove Nick Mason's $50 million GTO at Goodwood.
That car right now has got his original engine.
Original engine.
Yeah, he hasn't been changed, he hasn't been done up.
Driving a car worth that much, going by the Flint Wall. Make you nervous? You're not from the San Fernando Valley?
I'm from France.
I picked up something, but I wasn't sure exactly.
A French.
That was funny. Yeah, I say $50 million. I'm now saying $80 million for that car. Now, the thing that's crazy is I said to the guy, if you watched a video, it's up now. The guy said, I said, well, aren't you nervous going up the track? And he said, oh, we don't drive it too hard here. And I said, oh, okay. And then he said, it's not like the Revival. Meaning the Revival's 30 cars on the track and they do drive it hard and these guys are sliding off the track and bashing into each other and going all over the place. So he will be driving that car or did at the Revival last week and they will be beating the shit out of those cars. But again, they'll just fix them. All right. Max Zapata, I know I've got you up on your toes here, but I favorite tweeted a study that just says all you need for success is, and it's something Dr. Drew told me a billion years ago, and it's never changed, and it's delayed gratification. And I mean, I was young and kind of stupid, and Dr. Drew, you know, anyone's a physician, it's the epitome of delayed gratification. Right. You go work for free for 120 hours a week, like falling asleep, standing up in a broom closet and stuff. And then at some point, you become a physician and then it pays off. And well,
even in diagnosis, it's delayed gratification.
And I started thinking about my family and I started thinking about my friends and I started thinking about the one thing that my two closest buddies, Chris and Ray, didn't have is any... They had no sense of that, like at all. Like literally, we'd be signing up for classes and there'd be a line of like 150 people outside of the auditorium. And Ray would just go like, fuck it, I'm going to the beach. And I'd go, you got to wait in line and then you got to fill out the thing or you're not going to get any of your classes. And he'd go... It's so hot outside. Like
this conversation would be so much better at the beach.
I'm out of here. And he'd just leave.
Amazing.
And my friend Chris would do the exact same thing. Like he didn't do well in the 11th grade. He was second team All Valley on varsity in the 11th grade. He had big guy skills, could have gotten a scholarship, could have gone to the next level, could have gotten a free ride to a decent football school. And he had to go to summer school at Van Nuys High, where Paul Abdul went, not at the time, to take a 3-week summer school thing to get like a handful of credits.
Easy.
It was like, I don't know, it was like 8 a.m. till noon for 3 weeks, a week after school ended. It wasn't even like the following Monday. It was like they gave you 2 weeks off or a week off, and then starting that Monday, then for 3 weeks. Then he would have been eligible. Then he could have got his scholarship. And I remember like going to his house, like going, wake up, wake up. You got to go to summer school. And he'd be like in bed, like, oh, it's not, it'll work out. Like, it'll work. It didn't work. It didn't work for anybody. Like, they were the epitome of 100% do what you want in the moment versus delayed gratification. And when Drew told me that, I was like, of course, that's all it is. That's all success is can you put it off and then get a bigger payday down the road? The people that can't don't, and that's it. I don't. It's weird when we talk about any other road. I mean, look, it's easier to get delayed gratification, to have these things instilled in you if there's a dad at home and you go to a decent school system. And that's what all this stuff is supposed to nurture and build. Mm-hmm. But this thing is all you need. It's never discussed really in public. It's not any part of any politician's platform, but that's all. Delayed gratification, basically impulse control and delayed gratification, and you shall be successful, Max Pata.
Yeah, so this is research done at Temple University in Philly.
Research? Why do people just come to me? Yeah. We don't need research.
And delaying instant gratification beat out many of the more traditional signals of affluence, including race, age, ethnicity.
Wait, even race?
Yeah.
What about the oppressive systemic? What about the school to prison pipeline? It beat that out.
If you wait to enter the pipeline.
Wait to enter the pipeline until it's full up.
You delay your gratification.
Even race?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I know.
They got to redo that study, man.
Yeah. The tendency to indulge in instant gratification has been associated with abuse of addictive substances, cigarettes, alcohol, opiates. And people who can't delay gratification also have less cognitive control, which inhibits creative and productive thinking. So they still haven't figured out if it can be taught or if it's natural.
Well, it can be applied. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. It's like, can incarceration be taught? Mm. No, but you can incarcerate people. Like, you can go, you're not getting dessert until you finish cleaning the yard or whatever that is. Not that we do any of this at the Coral House. Let's be clear.
Doesn't it make sense though that someone who would be prone to addiction or have that addiction gene also be unable to delay gratification? Like,
sure.
Like that's perfectly correlated.
I agree. And it's going to make it that much more difficult. But there are just other guys I knew that didn't have the addictive gene, and they just wanted what they wanted when they wanted it. All the attributes you don't like to adults are the things you're trying to work out of 8-year-olds. It's like the 8-year-olds are all wired this way. You work it out of them.
Well, we all know the people who peaked early, you know, quote unquote. I said it's a cliche as old as time. You know, you experience some success early, whether it's athletic or popularity or whatever it is. And
it's all downhill.
A lot of times it is. We all know those people at the reunion, you know, who only peaked.
Yeah,
the Rob Riggles
of the world.
What people need to understand is, you need to see it within yourself, and you need to say, this may feel good to cut school and go to the beach right now, but when I come back and I don't have any of my classes, that's going to go on for a while. This beach thing, this is an afternoon. This is about 4 hours, but the no classes, that's a whole semester.
And then when you pile on top of that, not taking personal responsibility for that choice, then you're really screwed.
You talking about the chorizo meatballs?
Yeah,
For the people that are listening. All right, RJ Bell's on. We're going to talk to him in a second. First, Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with your hashtag Castrol Challenge. Your questions for the Castrol Challenge brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance 3 times. Mm-hmm.
Three times, fool!
3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown and leading full synthetic. What do you got, Max Pata?
All right, at VP Tech on Twitter wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge, oval versus road course, which is the bigger challenge?
I am going to tell you, I'll take a little different angle here. To me, the road course is probably a bigger challenge because you're turning right, you're turning left, you're going all the way through the gears and then back through them and then up to the top and then down to the bottom again, where, you know, the oval stuff,
you know what to expect.
Put it in that fifth gear and get in line and keep your foot mashed down. for the most part. But I say the aesthetic of the road-going cars or road course cars are much nicer than the oval. If you take a look at all the oval cars, you have your midgets and your sprint cars and your even your Indy cars, who do road courses as well, NASCAR and stuff like that. Not the aesthetic of the best looking cars are on the planet traditionally, for sure, like that aforementioned Ferrari GTO, were cars that were meant to be nimble, like to go right, to go left, to brake, to accelerate, to brake again, and to do it like over and over again. If you take a look at the best cars, aesthetic looking cars on the planet, if you go to the mid 60s and take a look at a NASCAR, a stock car from the 60s, it's heavy, it's kind of ugly, and it's probably worth $13,000 today, unless it was driven by Richard Petty or something like that. Not a ton of value to those cars. You take a look at the same mid-60s cars that drove at Le Mans, or whatever. Those cars are tens of millions of dollars, and aesthetically, much more pleasing. So just from an aesthetic standpoint, I go road course. Thank you. RJ?
Yes, Adam.
How are you, my friend?
I was just listening to your story very closely about your impulse control friends in high school. I'm a little skeptical about one part of it. All right. So your buddy had morning class he had to attend to graduate, and you got up, went over to see him to make sure he was there, or, you know, in school, and when he wasn't, you came in and said, come on, and you were shaking him, just hoping he would go because you were so concerned about his future. Is that right?
Well, I probably did that once, not every morning. And I'll tell you what happened. What happened was I played for North Hollywood High. And North Hollywood High, we kind of sucked my junior year. But coming back was a guy named Michael Brown, who was like the fastest guy in the league, and he was going to be a defensive back and a running back, because you understand, back then, all you need was like four good players, because they played both ways.
Four good players, embarrassment of riches, yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
They played both ways. So Ray played fullback and linebacker. Chris played tight end and linebacker. Melvin Royal, another Jewish guy. Melvin Royal was an inner city guy who played running back in DB. And we had a bunch of good guys like coming back. And so Chris and Ray being removed from the equation. So what ended up happening is I was like, look, we got four or five good guys and me, and we're both going to play both ways, and we're going to come back and we're going to dominate. Michael Brown never came back. Melvin Royal never came back. Those guys just went back to the inner city. Chris Boehm never came back, and Ray Oldhoffer never came
back.
That's
a big drain.
And that left me and DiGiacomo to get our ass kicked for the entire season. So I was actually just sort of hoping that he would come back for selfish reasons, too. He was my best friend, and I wanted him to play because I didn't want to suck again. And turns out,
left you high and dry.
So it So it seemed altruistic, but really it was about Adam.
And again, it was like one day of me going beat up after that. I was like, screw it. I'm lazy, too. Yeah. Yeah, we got left back with Wendell Shirley, who was a brother who wasn't fast. Mm-hmm. Sorry. RJ?
Yes.
No, sorry. Anyway, you got me all nostalgic about high school football.
What was the over-under on Wendell Shirley references?
Wendell! Well, it was Wendell, and then it turned into Wendell. But I think I saw him, or I think he's a captain in like the Santa Monica Police Force or something now, because we did a show at Hooters in like Santa Monica, and like somebody came by and said something. And he's the guy who famously announced after Robert and Lenny died, two guys on the team died in that horrible car crash in the Pinto station wagon that burst into flames. He announced he was taking one to the house for them as a punt returner, but he was slow and never took anything to the house. And there's Wendell Shirley.
All right.
Hey, Wendell.
And God bless him. He took it to the house to tie up the game with, 2 minutes left in the game.
Man of his word.
He was.
And on the ensuing kickoff, they returned it all the way, and they beat us. And that was the last high school game.
But that's
ever
beside
played.
The point.
That's a good lesson.
What is Wendell's rank now?
Slow captain.
He was captain in Santa Monica Police Force. I'll look at his current stats.
Now, look, to be fair to Wendell, only slow for a black guy, not slow overall.
Okay. Blazing fast for you know,
skill,
the rest of the
for
team.
Skill position guy. All right. Well, there he was. So, sorry, RJ.
Well, listen, I was just trying to talk about other things because I didn't want to rush in to self-congratulation this week.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
It's time for RJ's Parlay with Vegas insider RJ Bell.
Yeah. Now, your games that you picked were...
You got one or two right.
What do I got? Where's my... Do I got my sheet here? We got RJ's...
Yeah, Dylan. I think Dylan just ran him into you at the beginning of the show.
It's on the RJ Bell sheet right here on the bottom.
Yeah. So oh, it's on the bottom. We had the Bears plus 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
That was easy enough. Mm-hmm. And then we had KC plus 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
And they KC won by like 20.
Oh, okay. I'm looking for your sheet.
Here.
All right.
We have Bengals here.
Oh, maybe. Sorry. Hold on a second.
I thought RJ said Bengals.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, was it the Bengals? You know, it could have been because I had the Bengals.
You
do
so many
winner.
Shows, yeah, RJ. Bengals. You need so many shows.
Bengals plus 3, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, because we were fading Andrew Luck. That's right.
Right. All right. So 2 for 2, right?
That's right, baby.
All right, everybody.
Well done.
Go along with RJ.
Hey, Brian, it's like I told you. I got a picture of Adam. Mm-hmm. And I looked around IMDb and tried to find the least attractive one.
Mm-hmm.
And
good
and
luck.
I printed it out, and now when I get up to do my work and I'm thinking, should I watch a little MSNBC Morning Joe and kind of hate on those guys, or should I get to work?
Yep.
And then I look at Adam and I'm right to work.
Oh, yeah, like Rocky in the cabin at the top of the mountain.
Skepticism is fueling me.
Is how do you think my Rams looked on Monday night?
Well, you know, it was initially, obviously, not so good. Touch and go.
Right.
But I'll tell you this, I agree with you. I think the Rams are going to be a momentum-driven team, meaning if everything's going well and the intangibles aren't an issue, maybe the most talented team in the NFL. Now, the caveat would be how well does Goff play, because he is a question mark. If he plays even, let's say, 12th best quarterback in the league, so a little above average, and the Rams are motivated intangibly, wow, I think best team in the league. I also think, though, if they go south, it could keep going south. But as we saw, 1-0.
How did a lot of people were predicting the Chargers to have a good season? I think they got a loss first game in. Was that disappointing,
the Chiefs, right?
Or was that something you're aware of? I mean, not
well,
aware
you know,
of, but
if you remember, and I think that's why I forgot that we were talking Chargers last week, and I said that was my favorite under season win total bet. I think Brian and I were talking about that. Mm-hmm. They were expected to win entering the year 9.5 games. You know, so if they win 10 or more, it goes over. 9 or less, it goes under. And I thought it was way too much. I thought overrated, and they obviously lost and didn't look good in week one, the Chargers. I think two caveats there. One, Chargers don't have a great home field. So usually a team loses at home. It's a big deal. Chargers not so much because they don't have the fan base yet in L.A., and they don't have a steady, you know, permanent stadium. They will next year. And then number two, I think Kansas City is mighty good. Mahomes is a second-year quarterback. He didn't play first year. They traded Alex Smith, Kansas City did, and Mahomes looked like one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. Now, one game, but man, if Mahomes plays that well, Kansas City likely playoff team.
Can I ask you a quickie selfish Rams question? So I was watching it with my son Monday night, and the Rams were up by 2 scores, and they were just slinging that ball all over the place at a time when I was kind of explaining to my son, they should be handing off and trying to kind of stay in bounds and run that clock down, and then now it's a 2-score, whatever. And they were just slinging it all over the place. I guess that's part of the new plan, or is part of it you sending a message to whoever it is you're playing next, which is you don't know what we're going to do because we don't really do what you traditionally might do in these situations?
Honestly, that's a great question, and it's generational when it comes to coaches. And here's what I mean by that. Back, you know, I'm a big Steelers fan, like Damachek. I grew up an hour from Pittsburgh. And Chuck Knoll was a great example, and Tom Landry, of the classic old school guys. You're up by 10, 9 minutes left, run, run, run. But what they figured out, the analytics guys, was the amount of increased risk, especially as passing has gotten more efficient, of passing the ball is just minimal, right? A little more risk. But boy, your chance of getting first downs go way up if you're not one-dimensional. You add it up, you accept the risk of throwing an INT to increase the risk of getting first downs. Now, when the game's out of reach totally, right, a team's up by 30, they're only going to be throwing because they have a backup in there and they want to get him some good reps, right? Mm-hmm. Get him practiced. But if it's still competitive, let's say it's a 14-point game, 6 minutes left, and you've got the ball up by 14, you still can lose that game. And in back in the day, you would have ran. Now they're willing to throw and because they're accepting that additional variance. Now, here's the irony, finally. Atlanta, in the Super Bowl, not last year but the year before, the famous Patriots comeback, that's what they did, which was get aggressive with the lead. And it was a rare occurrence, at least statistically, where it went back to bite them. If Atlanta would have played like Chuck Knoll, they would have won that Super Bowl.
Boy, there is a 30 for 30 or an inside whatever on Chuck Knoll, and you realize what an interesting cat that guy was that you guys should all check out. They play him like playing the accordion and doing this and doing that. Like, he was a scholar. Like, Chuck Knoll is a far more interesting guy than you ever could have gleaned from just watching him sort of pace up and down on the sideline. He had a very interesting story to that guy. Here's a quick one for you, RJ, and anyone listening, and Brian as well. Mm-hmm. My Rams were down on like the 3 yard line, and there was a, I don't know, 4 minutes left in the game or something like that. Not much left in the game. And they were ahead by 10 points. And it was third down and whatever, and they didn't get it. They didn't get the first. It was in goal. They didn't score. And I was saying to Sonny, go for it on fourth down. Score. Mm-hmm. Or don't score and just put them on the 1 yard line with 3.5 minutes left. And
they
then
scored 13 points to that point.
They're going to have to go the whole length of the field, score touchdown pretty quickly, like 99 yards. Then they're going to have to get the back, and they're going to have to kick a field goal. And the field goal team came out for the Rams, and the reason they did it is because they wanted to make it a touchdown and beyond a field goal to tie it up. But I still feel like you got Gurley. You may score from the 3 yard line. The game's over. Or if you don't score, you give them the ball on the 2 yard line and let them go the whole thing. If you kick a field goal, if it's a bad snap or it gets blocked, it's a new game.
Yep. I had the exact same thought, which was, RJ, you can probably answer this. I'd love to see the analytics on what's the difference really between a 13 and a 16-point lead at that point. Of course, 16 is more than 13, blah, blah, blah. But like, really, how often does it make a difference if a team has a 16-point lead versus a 13-point lead?
Well, I was thinking 10-point lead versus 13.
What is the difference of those 3 points?
RJ, I know the book must say kick it, but is there anything in the book that says go for it with a picture of me next to it?
Maybe after this podcast. Now, what you're saying is it was a 7-point game, the kick made it 10.
No, it was a 10-point game.
And the kick made it 13. Okay,
yeah.
Here's the thing to think about, is with a limited amount of time left, it's going to be very difficult. You know, how many scores are viable, and if those are 7s and 3s, and they've thought all that through. I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but it's true. Every NFL team, Patriots more than most, will go to mathematics PhDs in their area and say, will you do a study on this? And they get it back, and obviously math is going to be very similar based on who's doing it as long as it's correct. And they do have that stuff figured out pretty well. But you know something? You make and I say this sincerely, Adam, another great point, which is this is another example of old school versus new school. Back to the Steelers, and this was the one Super Bowl I ever got to attend. Remember when Pittsburgh played Arizona, and you may not, at the very beginning of that game, Pittsburgh was about a touchdown favorite. They were on like the half-yard line in the first quarter, nothing, fourth down, and they kicked it. And the math guys go crazy against that because you touched on it, Adam. It's not just what's your chance of getting 3 versus 7, but if you end up getting stopped, boy, it's such a disadvantage to be starting on the half-yard line for the other team that then when you add that factor in, going for it more often than teams do is what the math guys highly recommend when you're inside the red zone.
Yeah, my thing that I was yelling at Sonny was the Raiders' offense was sort of anemic in the second half. They really weren't doing very well. If you don't, you have two choices in my handoff scenario. Either Gurley scores, which may happen, or Gurley doesn't score, and you give it back to the sputtering Raiders offense with 99 yards to go and the clock ticking the whole time. Like that's the way I look at it, but I get the math. All right, RJ, I want to...
And Adam, yes. If you don't mind real quick, there is one other factor to consider, because this is a nuanced conversation, it's kind of fun, is do the players have a short memory? And the analogy I always give is blackjack. A casino owner is never going to watch table 13 in blackjack and see a guy, even if he's betting $5,000 a hand, let's say big money, the guy wins 6 in a row. He's never going to be worried. Now, he's going to want to make sure the guy's not cheating. But other than that, the numbers are on his side. But when you have human players, if there's certain quarterbacks or certain teams that get discouraged, you go down there, go for it on fourth, and don't get any points. If you can forget that and keep playing the same way, statistically it might be better, but some humans are going to be emotionally affected by getting 0 points. That needs to be considered too.
All right, RJ, we'll go quickly with your picks because we're running late and Bobby Slayton is out there. I will take the $100 on betonline.com toward your picks this week, so let's make them good.
Oh, Lord. So if I go 0-2, I'm in trouble.
Serious trouble.
I'm ready. Should I start?
Yeah.
Please.
Let's do it. And these are simple handicaps, so I'll keep them short. Pick number one, we're going with the Miami Dolphins plus three. Now, here's the theory. Who was the most impressive, might be fair to say, but one of the most impressive teams in the NFL, and maybe not impressive, but surprisingly impressive, the New York Jets. Almost a touchdown underdog going in on Monday night. The whole world was watching. One of our reoccurring themes is the Monday games. The Sunday night game has a bigger percentage of people watching. Thus, the reaction by the public to those games is even more pronounced. Jets look great. Sam Darnold, he's the savior. And
someone went to USC.
That's right.
Exactly. And the line has moved. Because of that, this game was around Pick'em last week. If you would have bet this very game last week, Miami would have been Pick'em. Now, Miami wins, Jets win, and somehow Miami's +3. That's too much. Pick number one, Dolphins, +3.
All right, pick number two.
Pick number two, which team would you say also surprised big time, but they ended up losing, but still they looked mighty good? The Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone was watching that game. Everyone's coming out with two things. Boy, that Khalil Mack is mighty good, and that Bears D is going to be good. And, Aaron Rodgers is an all-timer.
Right.
Okay, I agree. Well, now this line is Bears hosting Seattle, and the Bears are favored by 3.5. So home field's worth 3. It's 3.5. So we're taking Seattle plus the 3.5. Because I think not only are we too optimistic about that Bears performance, I think there's one big X factor. How emotionally are the Bears going to respond to losing a game that they were like a 12-1 favorite to win? At the low point for the Packers, if you would have said, I think the Pack's coming back to win, if you would have bet that $100, you would have won $1,200. They were 12-1 underdogs. The Packers to come back and win that game. So 90%+ the Bears were going to win. They didn't. I think there's a real chance that they're a little flat off of that tough loss.
That's a tough loss.
+3.5.
They were dominating. Aaron Rodgers was taken off on a cart, and it was like this game and maybe the season is over. And then Rodgers did what will be shown on his reel when he's inducted into the Hall of Fame. All right, RJ, are we done?
Yeah, I think we're good. I mean, let's not forget 2-0 last week. First winning season last year, and we'll keep it going.
Website, pre thegame.com and the podcast, Dream Preview, every week on Podcast One and Apple Podcast. Yes.
I apologize. I'm real quick. We're actually, I know you're going to be in Seattle, Mike told me, but we're going to be actually doing a Podcast One podcast down at the Triple G fight on Radio Row on Thursday. And I'll tell you, the energy in town, I mean, this is probably the fight of the year, and tons of energy for that fight.
Hold on, Gina's confused. Your bra's not fighting Canelo Anthony.
I didn't understand.
Triple G's a nickname.
Yeah, the laundry is going to the Moore Theater.
Triple G's a nickname of Gennady Golovkin.
Okay.
Sorry.
That was good.
She's got an ample bosom. Wait a minute, what did Joe Buck say about Find Joe Buck.
She's big north of the border.
No. Thank you, RJ. We appreciate it.
Hey, me too. Thanks, guys.
All right. All right. The pit bull of comedy, Bobby Slayton, is out there. You know, I used to see Bobby, well, take a little walk down memory lane, but back when Kimmel and I were over at K-Rock and Kevin and Bean, Bobby was a frequent guest back in the old building. I'm going to ask him about, God, I mean, it was like 94, 95. Uh-huh. He was coming in there. Like, Slayton was like one of these regular. It was kind of weird. Like, you know, it was kind of like when, Bobcat Goldthwait was like a comedian. Right, like, it wasn't the one you know today.
It was like
Bobcat would come in and do comedy. Like, it was all these guys were doing comedy. And like Kimmel and I hadn't really gotten started in comedy. That was our only job was there. Yeah. We'd see the Slaytons and whoever else and be like, what's going on in comedy? You guys are all out there. We're doing comedy at 6 a.m. in Burbank. Like, what could be less comedy club than that? Right. Yeah. All right. We'll bring
some old stories from Bobby.
Bring Bobby in a second. First, I'll tell you about My Blue. Vaping is huge now. No ash, no odor. No brainer, My Blue, who introduced the world to vaping. Now introducing My Blue. All the satisfaction, none of the hassle. Just click and go. Easy to use. One click liquid pod. Switch between flavors in seconds. Wide range of flavors to choose from. Just 20 minutes to charge and you're set all day. Comes with free, limited time, lifetime device warranty called My Care. And you can try My Blue today at MyBlue.com. I think I see Kaylin on occasion taking a little suck off a vape through the glass.
Blue,
there.
You're my boy!
You think Drew'd have a problem, but he doesn't. He likes vaping because if you can give up cigarettes and pick up My Blue, then it is a much healthier lifestyle choice. Try My Blue today at MyBlue.com. Right, Dawson?
Not for sale to minors. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Blue and the Blue logo are trademarks of Fontum Holdings 4. BV copyright 2018 Fontum.
All right, we'll take a quick break, do some good sports, come back with Bobby Slayton right after this.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Dameshek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we've been talking about football, fantasy football, college football, pro football, and mixing in some Game of Life as well. And if you'll indulge me, I'd like to get your thoughts on what happened within your own four walls just a matter of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you come down on this one? I'm legitimately curious because you are the man who, as I've detailed, it's become the stuff of legend that you used to punctuate the start of each day at the Man Show by coming into the office with me and Sal with the empty coffee pot, and then you would urinate into it, and then you would set it on the windowsill. And like I say, there was something about the morning sun, the way it would come through the window and shine through that coffee pot, that the gold of...
Majestic.
It was lovely. It was mm-hmm. beautiful. It really was inspirational and really set you off on the right foot each day. But around here, I went back where the producers sit, right there behind the glass, and I saw your friend Dylan back there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his hand, he had some sort of an itch of some sort, I'm guessing. Is that, am I speaking, am I representing that right? You had an itch.
Yeah, it was on my scrotum.
On his scrotum. And he went, he just, you know, with three people standing right around him, put his hands right down his pants, not between the pants and underpants, right onto the balls themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Scratched away, then picked the hand right back out, went right back to the laptop on the group computer.
Oh, wow.
Keyboard that he was using. And I said, what the hell did you just do? Said, I had an itch. And he had no shame in it.
Mm.
He had, I mean, he put his cock paw all over a community keyboard. Now somebody else has to go and wait a second. Do I sense cock paw on my hand? What is that?
The sack is egregious for the following reasons. The sack, it's weird that within the human body, you have the breath, you know, there's bad breath, there's BO, there's ass smell, there's toe jam, there's whatever comes out of a boil or big zit. Everything kind of has a scent. Mm. And then there's sack scent. It's on an island somewhere on sack scent seas. It's got its own thing that sack is uniquely island. Sacrilegious. No, it's sack centric is what I'm saying.
Uh-huh,
it's its own sack smell. It doesn't have the smell. I mean, you think of it.
It's also filthy.
Right. But can I say this? When you take a look at like food from Guatemala and then food from any other, you know, Central America or South Central, you know what it is. Well, it's rice, it's beans, it's tortillas. They do things up in a little different combination. Look, I got a Guatemalan nanny, right?
Uh-huh.
She thinks she's making me Guatemalan food. She's making Mexican food because they're too close. You know what I mean?
I got you.
So right. You think the sack would be like, well, it's a little BO.
I am one of them too.
It's so close to the asshole that it's probably got the same ingredients, you know. I don't know if I could tell the difference. Au contraire. There's a completely different thing going on.
You think, so if we lined up, if we did a blind test, you would be able to identify your own?
My own sack?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how we would deliver the scent to your nose. Because your hand would have to be involved.
No, what I'm saying is, you go to Eastern Europe, and you go to you want to order Polish food, you get some sausage, you get some sauerkraut, and you get some potato. Or you can have German food, sausage, sauerkraut, potato. Or you can have Hungarian food, sausage, sauerkraut, potato. But there's no beans and rice and enchiladas right next to the sausage and the sauerkraut. It's the region. You know, that's their version. I'm saying, you got your asshole. Your asshole is the goat of stinks. Not only does it stink in and of itself, but everything that passes through it stinks, right? That
powerful.
Everything that it everything that it produces stinks. So you think that the country who lives just on the taint border with asshole land would have the same food that they enjoy over there.
Like
I'm talking about the Mexico and Guatemala. They're the same food. It's all rice and beans and tortillas. No, vastly different
fare. It's a civil war. Nay. It's an uncivil war.
That's right.
But between the
so
the
I'm always surprised at how unique the sack funk is compared to the armpit and especially the neighboring asshole.
I hear you, and I mean, I was offended for you, and I was offended for your staff at large by this outrageous move by Dylan to do that. Not since, and now, of course, I don't have to use that keyboard, so I was selfless in this moment, but. A number of years ago, I remember once sitting around the man show and some pizzas had been ordered, and some people don't eat their crust, and I'm a glutton, and I'll pick up people's crust and I'll eat it, and it's good food. Why would I waste it? And I took a couple of bites of one crust, and it tasted like what's it called, the talc. The white talc that you put
baby
on your ball.
Powder.
Baby
right.
powder talc, whatever you call that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was clearly that. And I realized, you know who always has that all over his hands, because he always has his hands down his pants, is Sal. Mm. And I ate his pizza crust that was dusted with cock paw infused baby talc. And I ate it. And now this is what's happening in your place of business, Adam.
Still not as bad as the margarita pizza with the whole slices of tomato on there.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to get crazy. I don't want to. Yeah, of course not. But still, isn't there a reprimand coming for him? Please.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Or are you fine with this?
Is it talc or talcum? And is it lozenge or lozenger? Do we need both?
How about the possums are disgusting? Now we also need opossums.
Yeah,
can we
you're
decide
right.
What are we doing? We need this. This is such a special creature that we need to give it two.
And has
variations?
This ever happened where somebody said, "Can you hand me the talc? Huh? The talc? What's that? Talcum? Oh, yeah, sure. Here you go. Could I have one of your lozenges? Hmm." Lozenges? Oh, yeah, here you go. Now I know what you're talking about. You were confusing me at the beginning.
Yeah, I don't, listen, you can try and distract me. You can try your Jedi mind tricks with me, Carolla,
right.
But I'm sorry. Either you stand with Dylan or you stand against it. And this is an important moment.
Well,
and I don't speak just for myself as the occasional passerby to Corolla's nerve center, but I speak on behalf of the Garys and the Loxamas and everybody else who are Kalins and everybody else.
Yes.
Cockpaw, sir.
Let me say this. And first off, in my defense, in terms of urinating in the coffee pot that the writer she is, I did that. Because I'm the boss and I fucking do what I want. Now, because how else do you know you're the boss? I mean, sure, there's the paycheck, but how else?
I see.
You know what I mean? No, it's because we had one goddamn bathroom. We had no bathroom on me and Jimmy's floor.
Uh-huh.
Me and Jimmy and a couple producers had a floor. There was a first floor, there was a bathroom. Then there's a second floor that was no bathrooms. Then there's the third floor, which was the writer's room, and there was one bathroom. So we'd have to use that bathroom. That bathroom would be destroyed, and there'd be newspapers, like you're trying to housebreak a puppy or something, just spread all over the floor.
It was one of the weirder things I've seen in all my days, that you would go in there at 10 a.m. and it would already be, you left out one key detail. There were newspapers covering the entire floor, some of them somehow crawling up the side of the wall without tape. And then also, the newspaper was about 85% wet.
Yes.
Why? How did it get all wet like this? What happened?
I don't know, but I took my ire out on the coffee pot, and I served up a carafe of urine, and that was my silent but deadly protest against what was going on in that bathroom.
I see we're getting nowhere today.
Apparently,
everyone can throw their cock paw wherever they want at Adam Carolla Warehouse.
I also, on occasion, would go on to stage to use my bathroom and my dressing room, but more often than not, just to find out that one Daniel Callison had also used it, dropped the deuce, and left it in there. What kind of respect? What do you think? What would happen if you did that to Bill Maher? Like if you just went, "Hey, Bill Maher, I took a big duke in your bathroom and I just left it there."
Let's get in touch with Ray, who pooped in Kimmel's desk.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That was a funny caper. All right, let me tell you about betonline.ag. What was the removal of it that made it funny? Football's here. Get all the action. And they got college. They got NFL. Don't wait to make your online wagers. Let's get going. Head to betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. I like that kind of alliteration. Bonus and business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 to receive 50% sign up. And it's a 50% sign up bonus, and you can do it today. That's PODCAST1 for a 50% sign up bonus. BetOnline.ag, exclusive partner, Podcast One, Sportsnet, and great NFL and college football matchups all week long. Get in on that action today. Sign up today at BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for 50% bonus when you sign up. Take advantage of this incredible offer right now at BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Very nice. All right, we'll be back with one more episode. No episode of Good Sports coming on Friday. Live show for Carolla and company. But for now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports Podcast One Sports out.